Welcome to the worship service of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Yorktown. The following program was recorded Sunday morning, February 19th.
Good morning and welcome to worship this morning. A couple of announcements before we begin. The first announcement is that we have service this afternoon, 3 p.m. at the Yorktown Manor for those that are involved or those that want to come and help with that. The next announcement is that immediately following the service this morning, those persons who have been named as part of the task force for the elevator parking lot discussion will be meeting over by the elevator parking lot immediately following service this morning, weather permitting. I think it'll hold up. The final announcement this morning is that there is a visitation. The visitation for Shirley Schultz is from 5 to 7 this evening at Massey Funeral Home. And the funeral is at Massey Funeral Home, 11 a.m. Tuesday morning. There are no other announcements this morning. I would ask the congregation to rise as we begin with a brief order for confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you, and for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue with our opening hymn, hymn 415.
Grace and God of
The congregation may be seated. And the congregation is invited to follow along with the order of holy baptism. It is on page 121, that is in the front part of the Lutheran Book of Worship. Page 121. In holy baptism, our gracious Heavenly Father liberates us from sin and death by joining us to the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are born children of a fallen humanity. In the waters of baptism, we are reborn children of God and inheritors of eternal life. By water and the Holy Spirit, we are made members of the church, which is the body of Christ. As we live with Him and with His people, we grow in faith, love, and obedience to the will of God.
I present Kaylani to receive the sacrament of holy baptism.
In Christian love, you have presented this child for holy baptism. You should therefore faithfully bring her to the services of God's house and teach her the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, and the Ten Commandments. As she grows in years, you should place in her hands the Holy Scriptures and provide for her instruction in the Christian faith, that living in the covenant of her baptism and in communion with the Church, she may lead a godly life until the day of Jesus Christ. Do you promise to fulfill these obligations?
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give Him thanks and praise.
Holy God, mighty Lord, gracious Father, we give you thanks for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters and you created heaven and earth. By the gift of water, you nourish and sustain us and all living things. By the waters of the flood, you condemned the wicked and saved those whom you had chosen, Noah and his family. You led Israel by the pillar of cloud and fire through the sea, out of slavery into the freedom of the promised land. In the waters of the Jordan, your son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By the baptism of his own death and resurrection, your beloved Son has set us free from the bondage to sin and death and has opened the way to the joy and freedom of everlasting life. He made water a sign of the kingdom and of cleansing and rebirth. In obedience to his command, we make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Pour out your Holy Spirit so that this child who is here baptized may be given new life. Wash away the sin of all those who are cleansed by this water and bring them forth as inheritors of your glorious kingdom. To you be given praise and honor and worship through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.
I ask you to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, reject sin, and confess the faith of the Church, the faith in which we baptize. Do you renounce all the forces of evil, the devil, and all his empty promises? Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
All right, Kehlani, you ready?
Yeah.
Kehlani Lynn Winpigler, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, here you go. Okay, good. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for freeing your sons and daughters from the power of sin and for raising them up to a new life through this holy sacrament. Pour your Holy Spirit upon Kehlani, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the Spirit of joy in your presence. Kehlani, child of God, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever.
Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Let us pray. O God, the giver of all life, look with kindness upon the father and mother of this child. Let them ever rejoice in the gift you have given them. Make them teachers and examples of righteousness for this child. Strengthen them in their own baptism, so they may share eternally with their daughter in the salvation you have given them through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Through baptism, God has made this new sister a member of the priesthood we all share in Christ Jesus, that we may proclaim the praise of God and bear his creative and redeeming word to all the world. We welcome you into the Lord's family. We receive you as fellow members of the body of Christ, children of the same Heavenly Father, and workers with us in the kingdom of God. Peace be with you. And I think we do have some gifts this morning. Yeah, here they come.
On behalf of the women of St. Paul Lutheran Church, I want to present this Bible to Kehlani. And as she grows in years, may she also grow in the love of the Lord Jesus and what he has done for her and for all of us.
Here at St. Paul Lutheran Church, we have what we call the Cradle Workshop, and we make blankets for our baptisms in our church, and they are very, very beautiful. And a little point I want to make is we're having lessons on March the 14th, if you feel like that you want to come and participate and make a blanket.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together the prayer of the day. God of compassion, keep before us the love you have revealed in your Son, who prayed even for his enemies. In our words and deeds, help us to be like him through whom we pray, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The first lesson today is from verses in Leviticus, the 19th chapter. The holiness code in Leviticus urges people to be holy, since God is holy. Holiness is lived out in partiality for us, for and consideration of the poor and the weak. We are to love our neighbor as ourselves. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel, and say to them, 'You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy.' When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. You shall not strip your vineyards bare or gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the alien. I am the Lord your God. You shall not steal. You shall not deal falsely. You shall not lie to one another. And you shall not swear falsely by the name, profaning the name of our Lord, of our God. I am the Lord. You shall not defraud your neighbor. You shall not steal. And you shall not keep for yourselves the wages of a laborer until morning. You shall not revile the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind. You shall fear the Lord. I am the Lord. You shall not render an unjust judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great. With justice you shall judge your neighbor. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not profit by the blood of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate in your heart anyone of your kin. You shall reprove your neighbor, or you will incur guilt yourself. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people, for you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. The word of the Lord. We will read the Psalm 119 in unison, please. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. I shall keep it with all my heart. Make me go in the path of your commandments, for that is my desire. Incline my heart to your decree, and not to unjust gain. Turn my eyes from watching what is worthless. Give me life in your ways. Fulfill your promise to your servant, which you make to turn away the reproach which I dread, because your judge means of good. Behold, I long for your commandments. In your righteousness, preserve my life. The second lesson is from the 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Jesus Christ is the foundation of the church and its ministry. We are God's temple because God's Spirit dwells in us and we belong to Christ. Hence, we are called to build wisely upon this sure foundation, for not for our own benefit, but for others to experience Christ's benefits. The reading. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation and someone else is building on it. Each builder must choose with care how to build on it, for no one can lay any foundation other than that the one that has been laid, the foundation, is Jesus Christ. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. for God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. Do not deceive yourselves. If you think that you are wise in this age, you should become fools so that you may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. So let no one boast about human leaders, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all belong to you, and you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. The word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Jesus said to the disciples, "You have heard that it was said, 'An eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth.' But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than them? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. "It's not fair," said the little girl as her parents told her it's time for bed, but her older brothers and sisters got to stay up an extra half hour. "It's not fair," said the teenager when his parents told him that he could not go to the party because those who go to that party were known to be drinking juveniles. "It's not fair," said the office worker as she was passed over from the promotion and it went to somebody else. "It's not fair." We've all heard that before, and we've probably all said it before. I'm sure you hear it from your children, and then as a child, I'm sure that you yourselves have said it. It's not fair. As we grow up, we learn that this world that we live in is not fair. We work hard, we try to do the right things, but yet, we still run into troubles, we run into difficulties. And then we all know that person who can do anything and get by with it. It's not fair. It's not fair. It's not fair, is it, that a parent should lose a child? Whether that child is still a child or an adult, it doesn't matter. Is it fair that a person is arrested for speaking out against an unjust government? Is it fair? Is it fair? This world just simply is not fair. And I think Jesus was aware of that as he spoke this sermon on the Mount. He says the God sends the makes the sun rise for the good and for the evil. He sends the rain for the just and the unjust. It's not fair. It just doesn't work that way. Or it doesn't work the way that we want it to. It's just not fair. And if you think about it, though, Jesus himself wasn't fair. Think about it. Jesus would eat with the tax collectors, with those dirty scoundrels. The tax collectors would try to take advantage of the widows and the orphans and the poor people, and they would favor the rich, and they would make lots and lots of money as however they could. But Jesus sat down and ate with them. What did they do to deserve his presence? It's not fair. Or think about it too, that Jesus went and made friends with outcasts, with sinners, with prostitutes. What did they do to deserve getting to know him? It's just not fair. Or Jesus healed the sick. He raised the dead. He healed the cripples. It's just not fair. What did they ever do to deserve that? They're not even pulling their own weight. But yet, Jesus gave them his blessings. It's not fair. But you can see the twist on Jesus being unfair. Because it's not that bad things are happening to good people, but rather, Jesus is bringing good and his blessings to those so-called bad people. Jesus goes way beyond just being fair. He gives people blessings and goodness, his grace and his mercy, which goes way beyond what is fair for other people. And then think about his life then too, further on. It wasn't fair that Jesus was arrested. He did nothing wrong. It wasn't fair that he was put on trial. And everybody out on at those trials knew that the testimony that was being given was false. But yet, he was condemned anyway. It wasn't fair that Pilate condemned him to death, to sentence him to death, because Pilate himself knew that there was nothing wrong with Jesus. But yet, Pilate did it anyway. It wasn't fair that the soldiers beat him and tortured him. It wasn't fair that he was nailed to that cross. And the whole irony of this thing is that Jesus was willing to go through the cross. He went through all of this for those very people who put him up there. It's not fair. Jesus died on that cross for the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and for the Romans and for the people who shouted out, "Crucify him." Jesus went to the cross for them. He died for them. But when we talk about the cross and the resurrection, we're not only talking about the people living in that first century. We're also talking about us. Because each time we fall short of what God wants us to do, each time we make our own decision to go against God, each time we sin, we too are putting another nail in that cross. But Jesus was willing to die for us. We deserve the punishment. That's what we deserve. That's what we should have. But Jesus takes it away from us and he dies on the cross. It's not fair, is it? It's not fair that Jesus should die when we should die. But that is Jesus Christ. That is God. God is not fair. God goes way beyond fair. That's his mercy and his grace in action. That's who God is. God is not fair. Sometimes we forget, though, We forget about what God and Christ have done for us. And we want to go back to a world that we think we can make fair. We want to go back to that an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. If somebody hurts me, I have the right to hurt them, don't I? If somebody does something bad to me and I can't get back at them right away, it's okay if I hang on to that until I find the right opportunity. That's only fair, right? If they've done it to me, I can do it to them. We want to go back to that. But instead, Jesus has a different way of handling the situations. He says, if somebody slaps you on the cheek, turn the other cheek. If somebody takes your coat, give them your shirt too. If somebody makes you walk a mile, go an extra mile. Now, I need to make this clear. Christianity is not about being passive. It's not about just laying down and letting people walk over you. It's not about being a doormat where they wipe their feet on you. Jesus is actually saying to do something about it. When somebody strikes you on the cheek, do something about it. Now, the reaction that if somebody slaps you on the cheek, the reaction that they expect from you is to get angry and to try to slap them back, to get into a fight with them, or it's to make you submissive so that you will obey them. But Jesus has a completely different way of looking at it. If somebody slaps you on the cheek, you need to do something about it, but it's not to act violence with violence. Rather, he's saying, turn the other cheek. It's a reaction that nobody expects. It's a reaction that stops that cycle of violence. It's a way of showing that God is not fair. Because if we play this way, then we too are not playing fair. We are changing the rules. And if we change the rules, then we are also working on changing this world. This world that we live in is not fair. And we can never really hope that it will be fair. Because God himself is not fair either. God goes beyond being fair with his justice, with his mercy, and with his grace. And as we learn, too, not to play fair in the ways of Jesus, we are proclaiming that message of God. And that we, too, can maybe turn people so that they, too, can look upon that kingdom of God and wish to be a part of it. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing the hymn for the day, number 230.
Please rise. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, we ask for you to be with all those who are in need. We pray for all those who are struggling to find adequate shelter and sustenance, as well as all those who are living in and on the edges of poverty. We pray that you would lift them up and sustain them, supporting them through the faithful work of your church. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty Lord, we pray for the persecuted church throughout the world. We pray for all those who cling to your name in spite of their persecution, that they may be constantly strengthened and protected when the world wants to see them silenced. Lord, in your mercy. God of healing and mercy, be with all those who are hurting or are in pain, both in body and spirit, especially the family of Shirley Schultz and the family of Dana Nellis. And we ask you to be with Christy, Aaron, Hunter, Ray, and Gary. You are the source of grace and comfort. May they all know of your constant presence in their lives. Lord, in your mercy. Loving God, watch over the children in our community. Protect their hearts and minds and souls as they encounter the world around them. We ask that you would form them in faith and raise them up to be faithful leaders and servants in your church. Lord, in your mercy. Father, we ask for your blessing on this congregation. Work through us so that the promise of your Son may be carried out into the world by all who worship in this place. Help us to be faithful stewards of the gospel. Lord, in your mercy. Holy Spirit, be with us and work in us as we receive the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Feed us and sustain us that our lives may be made new through his passion and resurrection. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please be seated as we continue with our offering.
Let us pray. Merciful God, in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you embrace our lives with your great love for humanity. With joy and gladness, we ask that these gifts may be for many a sign of that love, and that we may continue to share in the divine life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ. By the leading of a star, he has shone forth to all nations. In the waters of the Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved Son, and in the miracle of water turned to wine, he revealed your glory. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. Yeah.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Let us pray. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of those whom you have fed with one heavenly food. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 390. Serve the Lord. As we go in peace, we share that peace with each other. The peace of the Lord be with you.
We thank you for joining us for our worship service from St. Paul Lutheran Church in Yorktown. Our Sunday morning worship service is broadcast live on FM 92.1 KCAF at 9 a.m. each Sunday. Our live service is also available on the web by going to shoutcast.com and searching for STPAULYKT. We hope that you will listen often, and we invite you to come worship with us whenever you can. We have a Saturday evening worship service in our chapel at 5 p.m., and on Sunday morning, we have our worship service in our sanctuary at 9 a.m., followed by Sunday school classes for all ages at 10:15.